Morning. How's everybody doing? I know yesterday the ladies had a Christmas party. I think they all had a good time. Everybody I talked to said it was fun. So if you missed out, there's always next year, right? One thing that I wanted to remind everybody is there is a link that you can go to on the church website. You can either scan this with your camera on your phone and go there and put in prayer requests. Just found it this morning. Again, I'd seen it before, and noticed there was a couple out there, so I prayed for them, and there's a little link you can click on saying you prayed for it. But anyway, gentlemen, after the service, we could use your help setting up the fellowship hall. So Bob's going to tell us what to do. Should take about 5 minutes if we all get together and do it. All right? And then I'm not going to go through all this. Men's Bible study, everybody got a bulletin. We're going to have a Christmas Eve service and a Christmas Day service at 3 p.m. So don't come Christmas morning early or you'll be in the parking lot waiting until 3. All right? All right. Oh, yeah. I already tore mine off. I tore it off to remind me. There is a card. If you are a visitor, and we have a couple today, there's a card tab on the bulletin. If you don't mind filling that out, we will not send junk mail to you or anything like that, put you on spam your email, anything. But if you'll fill that out and let us know if you have any needs that we can meet, we would love to do that. Anything you need us to pray for, whatever. All right? All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for our church body. I thank you for the cool weather that you brought us. I pray that you would just help us all to remember that this time of year, a lot of people focus on you, and it's a perfect opportunity to share your love with those around us. And I pray you would give us all those divine encounters so that we could further your kingdom for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We sing this morning. I do want to give a special thanks to our men that served us yesterday at the women's luncheon because they were amazing. So thank you all that came to that. So.
Come on.
an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them.
Redemption. We thank you for who you are and what you mean to us. Father, as we study your word, open our eyes and let us see you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. If you are a little bit out of your comfort zone right now trying to figure out what happened to the rest of your music? Be still. It's coming. As we look at God's promises in the Bible, today we're going to look at peace. And the most amazing thing about God's peace is that you cannot get it in your comfort zone. You have to step out of normal to discover God's peace. We're looking at the shepherds this morning. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. We're continuing our story here. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. I'll bring you up to speed at to where we're going to pick up this story. Jesus has been born. And then this happens. The same night, just a little later, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Listen and follow with me. That night, the shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their sheep, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Do not be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in snuggled, strapped in cloth, laying in a manger." And look at verse 13. "Suddenly, the angel was joined by a host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased.'" So let's set this scene for us. In another part of Bethlehem, Jesus has been born. But there are a lot of people who are just living their lives unaware of Jesus. Sound like today? There are a lot of people unaware of Jesus. And we get a glimpse into the lives of these shepherds who are just going about their life, doing their job. They're in a field guarding their sheep. Now, the thing about shepherds at this point in history is this is the lowest on the economic social chain of society at the time. These guys were drifters. They didn't have a certain field that they was theirs for their sheep. They would wander continuously. And it just so happens on this night, not far from where Jesus was born, they find themselves in a field doing their job. Now, try to wrap your head around an angel appearing. They were understandably afraid, and the angel reassures them, "Don't be afraid. I have a message for you that is going to bring joy to all people." And the angel tells them Jesus has been born. Now, there's some clues into these men that we can read between the lines. They knew about a coming Savior. This was not a surprise to them. They knew about it. They were, who knows from what families or lines, but they were aware. And then they get a concert from heaven. Can you imagine what that was like? We don't know how long it lasted, but I can't imagine what took place when those who were made by God, who were created to praise God, began to worship Him. Now you see, one of the things that we do every Sunday as we come in here, and generally we sing two songs, and then I pray and I read you a verse of Scripture, and then you sing two more songs. There's a habit. And if you are not careful, you will get so into the habit that you miss the point. They didn't miss the point. Heaven opened up and they praised the Savior that came to make a way home for them. In drifting aimlessly and not having a home, they understood the pleasures of home. And they worshiped. What I want us to be careful of is to not get so comfortable that we miss the opportunity to worship God. That's why we sing. Not just because they're leading us and sometimes we're just listening, not paying any attention. The words of the song open up our hearts to a Savior. And you see, the thing is, God has to be praised. Scripture tells us if we don't do it, the rocks will. Let that sink in for a minute. If we don't do it, the rocks will. And as we go through today, and look at, I'm going to give you three keys to peace. Three keys to a peaceful life. I think we all want that, don't we? Don't you feel a knot when there's not peace? We just want peace. Just everything be calm. But you cannot have that in your comfort zone. In order to have that, you have to step out of it. And one of the things that I want us to do this morning, one of the keys to peace in your life is truly worshiping God. They hadn't planned on it. There was no hymns picked out. There was no service planned. They were doing their jobs, and in the midst of it, God's glory shone. And they got a concert from heaven. What I want us to do is take a minute and truly worship Him.
Thank you.
For some reason, music has incredible power. If you've ever dealt with a crying baby, one of the first tools you pull out of the toolbox is to start singing. And sometimes it works. And when you are in a state of unpeace, when your life is at turmoil, worshiping a Savior who is the Prince of Peace will bring you peace. But what took place that night in that field in front of those shepherds and what they got to experience was not just going through the motions. It was genuine worship. And that's our first key to a peaceful life. If you want more peace in your life, start worshiping a Savior. Not just sitting in this room at every moment. The second key is a struggle for most of us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It's a passage that we are, most of us, very familiar with. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to start reading at verse 25. You see, the second key to peace is not to worry. Don't worry. We like to worry, even when we say we don't. We like to worry. Because a lot of us spend a lot of time doing it. Look at verse 25. This is why I tell you, do not worry about everyday life. Anybody worry about everyday life? In church, don't lie. Jesus says, don't worry about it. Why are you worried about everyday life? This is why I tell you, do not worry about everyday life, whether you will have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at verse 26. Look at the birds. They do not plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? Verse 28. And why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies of the field and see how they grow. They don't work or make clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. In all of our worry, have you ever solved one issue? You've lost quite a few hours of sleep, but we've never solved one issue. Verse 30. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He certainly cares for you. Why do you have so little faith? That's an indictment for all of us who worry. You see, God never designed us for worry. He designed us for peace. And to me, the opposite of peace is worry. I have never been able to worry about anything and be at peace at the same time. Ever. Look at verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your need. Then verse 33. Seek the kingdom and above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring enough worries. Today's troubles are enough for today. if you want peace, we have to stop worrying. And in order to stop worrying, we have to be able to trust that God is who He says He is, and He's going to take care of us. What He wants for you and I is to live a peaceful life today. Forget about tomorrow. It's gone. The times that you keep rolling things through your head of how you could have done something different that would have changed where you are today are futile and useless. And none of us are promised tomorrow. So all you have is today. So if you want peace, we have to stop worrying. You say, Chad, that's easy for you to say and hard for us to do. You want me to give you a sub-key to stop worrying? If you want to stop worrying, go back to key number one. Because you cannot worry and worship God at the same time. If you start worrying, then start worshiping. The more you worship, the less you will worry. The third key, I want to take you back to our story. Go back to Luke chapter 15, chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading at verse 15. Here we are, we're shepherds in a field, just going through the night, going through the motions, and we find ourselves in the midst of a concert from heaven. I cannot imagine what that was like. I cannot imagine seeing an army of angels, and you know they were on perfect pitch, praising God. And then verse 15. When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, what the Lord has told us about." Verse 16. They hurried to a village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel said to them about this child. I want to stop right there. First of all, they got to see Jesus. The excitement of them is overflowing. And then they got to tell somebody. It's built in our nature. You got good news, you want to tell somebody, right? How many people do you think believed them? I'm going to share with you a story, and some of you are not going to believe it. I'm going to tell you right off the bat. But it is incredibly true, and I missed it. I absolutely missed it. A number of years ago, Misty and I and our Texas parents who were here a couple weeks ago, many of you met them, we were in San Antonio, and we were headed down to the Riverwalk, okay? And we came through the entrance of the Marriott and down a flight of stairs, you could see, to the Riverwalk, and we had to go over a bridge. And coming at us, I was with my Texas mom. We are skeptical people. They were coming at us. Coming at us was a lady. She looked like a bag lady. I'll just be honest with you. She looked like she might be homeless. And we avoided her. Okay? Many of you would have done the same thing. We avoided her. And behind us was Misty and my Texas dad. And on this small bridge, they met this lady. this lady was an angel. Okay? She called Misty by name, said a blessing over her. Now, my Texas mom and I are completely oblivious to this. We have moved on thinking they've been stopped by some bag lady and they're just going on and on and on. They met an angel. When they finished talking to her, they caught up with us, and we're in a small area here, and they told us what had happened. And we all turned around, and with nowhere to go, this lady was gone. Believe it or not, it is completely true. And I missed it. Because I wasn't aware. And what does Scripture tell us? Be aware. Be aware that God is moving and working in your life. There were shepherds in a field going about their business, and heaven opened up before them. The third key to you and I having a peaceful life and encountering a Savior is that you have to have room for Him. Did you hear me? You have to have room for Him. And that's not about what happened yesterday. It's not about what's happening tomorrow. It's about today. About being aware today. Now, of all the people who the angel could appear to and had the opportunity for a concert from heaven, the lowliest people in the economic food chain got this opportunity, and it's because they had room for Jesus that night. How many of us would have stopped what we were doing, went straight to Bethlehem to find Jesus? It's an important key for us. If we're going to encounter Jesus on a daily basis, we have to have room. Think about that for a minute and watch this. catch that quote? Each of us are innkeepers. And we have to decide whether or not we have room for Jesus. That happens on a daily basis. Because He's told us, live today. And the thing is, we get so busy and we have good intentions. But would you have come that night? I don't know. I don't know if I would have. I hope I would have. But that star appeared above Bethlehem, and only a handful of people got it. Listen to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child is born to us, a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his government and its peace will never end. Since Adam, we've all been searching for peace. The story's told about a medieval king who desired peace. And he wanted a painting that signified peace and what peace looked like. And so he commissioned a contest and offered a great reward for anybody who could paint him a picture of peace. Many tried. Many beautiful paintings were painted. They were all displayed on the day the contest was over and the king chose a winner. There were many scenes, as you might imagine and roll through your head. Many beautiful ponds that were still. Many beautiful forestry scenes. Many beautiful mountainsides that displayed what that painter signified peace might look like. The winner, the one the king chose, the one king signified what peace looked like, was in your bulletin today. If you have it, pull it out. A number of years ago, this painter painted this based on the tales of this story. And our copy's a little fuzzy. But the king said, this is peace. Now, I don't know about you, but at first glance, this is anything but peaceful. If you notice in the sky, there's a storm coming. A violent storm. With lightning, and I imagine thunder. And while waterfalls are beautiful, they are violent. And they are noisy. But what caught the king's attention, if you will look just in the middle, just below center, you'll see a dove. And she has built a nest. And she is sitting in the midst of all this turmoil around her. And she's perfectly at peace. Because you see, peace is not about your environment. It's not about your surroundings. It's not about when you get things just as you want them. Because you will never get them there. Peace happens in the midst of all of that. Peace happens when a storm is on the horizon. Peace happens when your life is turned upside down. And you cannot see the end. and you cannot understand what God is possibly doing and why He won't fix it. Peace happens because we worship a Savior. And we don't worry about what was or what is, because we have room for Him in our lives today. That's peace. I want to close our time together with an opportunity for us to worship that God and remind ourselves to have room for a Holy Spirit. Pray with me and then let's sing. Father, I thank You for peace in the midst of a world that is anything but. Then when the storms of life rage in on us, we can find peace in You. Because peace anywhere else is not peace. But You are the Prince of Peace. And we want to worship You now. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Compare.
me. That's my prayer for you, that you're overcome with His presence. And when you are, you will find perfect peace. As we go out that door, I pray that you have room, like the shepherds did that night, to experience Christ. Gentlemen, I need your help in the fellowship hall for 5 minutes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are and that you are a Savior of peace in the midst of turmoil. And while we live in a world that has so much worry and concern and chaos, I thank you that we can find peace when we make room for you. And that's my prayer for every one of us, that we may leave here with you in our hearts and overcome by your presence. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.